Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great time today. Hope you are too, and want to introduce you to a new friend. John Murphy is with us. John is Vice President for the Western Hemisphere Affairs for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He's also serves as Executive Vice President of the Association of American Chambers of Commerce in Latin America, and he's the guy that works on international issues for the U.S. Chamber, especially in the Western Hemisphere. John, welcome to the show.
It's great to join you.
It's good to have you here, and you follow a long list of outstanding people from the chamber who've been with us before, including our good friend and yours too, Giovanni Cortolo, who handles the small business shop for you guys.
Well, we appreciate what you do here on this show. You know, over 90% of our members are smaller companies, and so it's important that we hear from them as much as possible.
Well, and I know you do, and I appreciate the effort that you guys are putting into small business, and I noticed even an increase in activity in focusing on small business by the chamber, and I'm glad to see that. John, I know one of the things you want to talk about today is the Central American Free Trade Agreement, or what is also known as CAFTA. Before we actually get into CAFTA, a lot of people may just be hearing about this agreement for the first time, and they hear CAFTA and they can't help but think NAFTA. And for a lot of Americans, NAFTA is at best something that they're concerned about, and at worst, it's a four-letter word. And so, to me, for a lot of folks who aren't really following this over into the weeds the way you and I might do it, we might push back a little bit on CAFTA in terms of encouraging our legislators to vote for it. What do you think?
Well, that's a fair point. But I would just start off by saying that, you know, CAFTA may rhyme with NAFTA, but there's a world of difference between these trade agreements. Let me just start off with CAFTA and point out that the U.S. marketplace is already wide open to goods coming from these countries. We already have free trade with Central America and the Dominican Republic, but it's one way. It's one way coming in. The 80% of the manufactured goods that come from these countries come in duty-free, and 99% of the farm products come in duty-free. By contrast, when American small companies are trying to sell their wares in Central America, the tariffs are in the 7 and 9% range for manufactured goods, and farmers face tariffs that average about 11%, but they're often a lot higher, you know, 35% for pork products, and I could go on. But what you have here is a very unlevel playing field, which CAFTA is going to level by eliminating a lot of those tariffs down there on day one. 80% of the tariffs will disappear on day one.
So
that's why we're so enthusiastic about it.
These Central American countries and the Dominican Republic are interested in signing this agreement to basically lift the tariffs on our products going to their countries.
That's right. The reason why they're keen to do this is because this kind of trade agreement serves as a kind of good housekeeping seal of approval for their economic policies. Mm-hmm. It means that world markets will look upon them as a better place to do business. It means that they'll be better able to have a stable business environment. Having clear rules of the game is an important part of any economy, and the ability to generate new jobs.
And for countries their size and their level of development, it never hurts to have the United States to be a good friend, does it?
That's exactly right. And they're a good friend to us, especially as a customer. You know, these countries look small on the map, but they're already buying from us $16 billion worth of exports each year. You know, that's about 50% more than Italy buys, and it's closing in on France.
What is the trade balance with these guys?
It's about even. There is a small deficit, but let me tell you, when these countries have tariffs that are, you know, in the 10% range and ours are zero, it's not a surprise
right.
that we have a deficit. So if you're concerned about the trade deficit, this is the trade agreement for you, because it's going to have overwhelmingly the impact of creating opportunities for small companies here in our country.
Well, what do you say to people when they're still complaining about NAFTA? And as you know, a lot of people believe that because of NAFTA, the United States lost a lot of jobs to Mexico, especially textile jobs. And of course, I've actually had people say, we need to repeal NAFTA and go down there and get those jobs back. And I'm usually quick to tell them, well, you can go down there if you want to, but those jobs aren't there anymore. They're somewhere else. They're not even in Mexico now.
Well, I think the focus on textiles that you just pointed to is an important one. I think a good point of departure to look at that is to think about a T-shirt that comes from China and one that comes from Central America. The one from China has one half of 1% U.S. content. The one from Central America has about 60% U.S. content because we have an integrated supply chain with these countries. It starts with cotton farmers in Arkansas. They sell their cotton to yarn spinners in the Carolinas. Those yarn spinners sell their goods to a fabric mill in Alabama. And all of those inputs, $5 billion worth each year, goes to Central America to be made into a garment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if all of those garment jobs in Central America go to China, then we're going to lose the number one export market for our textile input industry.
And so you're saying that the CAFTA agreement will increase the opportunity for our 60% of that T-shirt, so to speak, to continue to go to Central America and then come back to us.
That's exactly right.
As a finished product.
Mm-hmm. And that's a relationship that already exists. You know, North Carolina's number one export market for textiles is these six countries.
Right.
And Alabama, it's right up there as well, and so on. So this is really an opportunity to take this existing commercial relationship and take it to the next level. And we need it. We need it if we're going to be able to compete with China.
Where is CAFTA right now in the process?
CAFTA has gone through a couple of hearings on Capitol Hill, and we expect it to take the next step in June when the legislation will actually be delivered to the Congress and come up to a vote in June.
In both houses?
And, it has to go through both houses, and we expect
will
to be
wrapping presented
up
to both houses at the same time?
Yes. Yes, uh-huh. It will. And we expect to be having votes on this in June and July.
All right. Stand by, John. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask John if he thinks the CAFTA agreement is going to have any big opposition in Congress. Obviously, we know the president is going to sign it. We know what a free trader he is. And we'll talk about this and other trade issues with our new friend John Murphy, Vice President for the Western Hemisphere of U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Stay with us. Microphone. 23 after the hour. Dire Straits for you. Mr. Mark Knopfler on lead vocals. John Murphy. That's John Murphy on drums. He's Vice President for Western Hemisphere Affairs at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And he's our new friend and one of the many friends that we have at the U.S. Chamber. John, give us the website there, please.
It's www.uschamber.com.
One of the things my audience knows that I do all the time, John, as often as I can, and that's to encourage them to be part of their local chamber as well as to be part of the national chamber. And because these are groups of small businesses that have gotten together to try to help each other out, and it's one of the best affiliations any small business owner can have is be members of a chamber.
Well, we appreciate that plug. You know, when something comes up here in Washington, like, I don't know if you remember that ergonomics rule a couple of years ago.
Oh, I sure do.
You know,
we reported on that.
Without the chambers standing up and making the point to Congress that what that's going to mean for small business, and I don't know who else would do it.
Yeah, that was a little thing that almost got slipped through in the last year or so of the Clinton administration. That could have been really ugly. John, we're talking about CAFTA, folks, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. You said that in the next month or so that it's going to come before Congress. We know the president will sign it if it passes. Do you see any big opposition in Congress?
Well, let me just tell you that the business and agriculture communities are incredibly united on this because, you know, because for the reasons that we've already gone over
right.
here, that it's about leveling the playing field. The only folks in business and agriculture who are opposed are the sugar growers. Sugar growers in this country are about one half of 1% of American agriculture. They're actually excluded from this agreement. In all practical terms. The amount of sugar that's going to come in is absolutely trivial. It comes out to about a teaspoon and a half a week for each American. Nonetheless, the sugar growers, they've benefited from some very high tariffs, and they're fighting against this agreement. Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight with them,
right.
but they're getting protected. They're not going to be harmed at all by this agreement. It's important that the rest of the business and agricultural community stand up and say, hey, we don't want these objections to prevent us from getting these very real benefits.
What about the other? What about manufacturers? What about other organizations that that you know of? Are they in favor of this?
We've got an incredible coalition. You know, the National Association of Manufacturers, for instance, estimates that this agreement will generate $1 billion worth of new exports of manufactured goods.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody from the cotton growers to the National Council of Textile Organizations has endorsed this agreement.
What's in this agreement for small business, John?
Well, the thing that I like to point out about these trade agreements is that big companies can always find a way to do business overseas. They have the resources to go to, you know, Brazil or India, wherever, and they can hire local lawyers. They can find a way to do business and get around tariffs. But for a small company, they don't have that privilege. They don't have that luxury.
Mm-hmm. If there's a tariff, we pay it.
That's exactly right. And by eliminating these tariffs, you get around really the principal barrier to boosting your sales overseas. Let me just give you an example of the Chile agreement. In January of 2004, the U.S.-Chile Free Trade mm-hmm. Agreement came into force. In its first year, we saw U.S. exports to that country rise by 34%. And actually, in the first quarter of this year, the beginning of the second year of that agreement, it's up 47% more.
Wow.
These free trade agreements work, and they generate billions of dollars in new sales, especially for the smaller and medium-sized companies.
I have interviewed small businesses on this show that if in a number of different industries over the years who have given us specific examples of how they were rendered uncompetitive because of the tariffs that were placed on their goods going to that country, and the elimination of the tariff with the trade agreement allowed them to be competitive. And my favorite story, though, John, is the little Tennessee company that makes salsa. They make salsa in Tennessee, and guess where their biggest market is? Mm. You'll never believe this.
Their salsa in Mexico.
Mexico. This little Tennessee company is making salsa and selling it in grocery stores in Mexico.
Well, that just shows.
Is that a wonderful story or
that's
what?
The entrepreneurial spirit at work right there, yeah.
And the U.S. Commercial Services are the people who are helping them with that.
Well, that's great. You know, there's really a lot of resources for small and medium-sized companies that want to take advantage of these trade agreements. And we have a program called Trade Routes that does that. We work closely with the Commerce Department, and we'd love to get more information to you and hopefully talk about that on the show.
I want you guys to join us again. And I know, as you say, I know you've got some other folks who focus on that 100%. What's the next... I got about 30 seconds. What's the next trade issue that you're working on, John?
Well, you know, CAFTA is really a stepping stone to a series of free trade agreements here in the Americas, but also to a global trade deal that's called the Doha mm-hmm. round of negotiations.
Right.
We're hoping to see that conclude. You know, that includes 150 companies, and that could be worth, you know, something on the order of $500 billion for the world economy. And
well,
a good bit of that would come to America.
So. John, I love what Frederick Bastiat said about trade. He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And so you keep working on all those trade agreements, and I think it's going to be good for all of us. Well done today, John. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure to join you, Jim.
John Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We'll get him back again another day. Quick break, right back with Brian Tracy. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.